Thank you for that. Now I know I can have so many names I can choose from now. Thank you. All right, so before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to congregate together in your house. Thank you for those who are here, those who are on their way, those who are listening or watching via Facebook or any other means. I ask that you increase while I decrease. I pray that you get all the glory and the honor out of what is being spoken tonight, and that someone that is encouraged by the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Lord gave me a lesson to do on encouragement. And of course, never tends to work out the way you think it does. So it went, became from discouraged to encouraged, the power of positive thinking. And the scripture I use for it is Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So many times we tell ourselves that we have to get up the courage to do something. We have to get up the courage to stand in front of a camera and in front of the congregation and do a lesson. Yes, I'm talking about me. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves to go and do public speaking, apply for a new job, you know, just taking that leap of faith. For as long as I can remember, I've always had to get up the courage to do anything in life, especially if it involved being in the forefront. Now, anything behind the scenes, I don't need any encouragement to do that. And some of those examples that I had growing up were, you know, running for class office. I was not doing that because that meant I had to speak in front of everyone. So I was nominated for a lot of things and I would decline those things. I was nominated for class president, class vice president, homecoming court, everything I declined. Because that required me to be in front of other people. Funny thing is I ended up being the treasurer of the class. I was the senior homecoming maid on the court and I was a cheerleader. Go figure. But, you know, just being up here took, you know, a little courage. Okay, a lot of courage. And a lot of encouragement, you know, from my mom, who is my biggest supporter, from the pastors, and of course from all of you. You know, thanks to Natasha and Wanda, who convinced me to talk to Pastor the first time I ever got up here. Thank you. So I was always concerned about how I would look, how I would sound, you know, because I've always been made fun of the way I speak. I know I'm from Little Cotton Plant, Arkansas. Yeah, that's where I'm from, I'm serious. And not everyone sounds like me. And so I had to get used to the fact that I do sound different than a lot of people I grew up with. And I've recently, and I do mean recently, learned to be okay with that. But I also had, you know, a problem with wondering if anyone would want to listen to what I had to say. You know, and it's coming from God, but you see me, so, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that's who you're going to be paying more attention to and not to the words that God has given me to give to you. So a lot of this did take a lot of encouragement and it took a lot of courage to do this. But according to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So we say this, but do we really believe it? You know, and to say that you believe it means that you put action into this. You know, you're not just gonna speak it, but you're going to do it. So recently I was told that I have a busy schedule, so I'm Miss Popular. I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. But I have learned to have the courage to say yes now. I didn't have that courage at all. But I'm learning that saying no so often and for so long, I've missed out on so much stuff. Things that I could have possibly been happy with, but I don't know because I didn't do those things. You know, I don't like to call it fear, but it is kind of, you know, fear had me missing out on life. But Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And it took a while to get the revelation, but I got it. And when you're young, your friends are very encouraging. Not as much as when you get older. Although, unless you go to Oasis, everyone is encouraging. But when I was younger, I was the boy that my mom said she never wanted. She had three girls, but you know, I helped her out in that area. And so having friends to encourage you, especially when you're younger, is not always the best thing, and it doesn't always have the best outcome. So one of my friends convinced me to climb to like the top of one of the higher branches of a tree because it had the best mulberries. And I did it. I didn't need that much encouragement to do it. But I do remember, you know, getting up there and I'm like, yeah, and I'm dropping mulberries down into the bucket and everything. Well, then it's time to descend. It was easy ascending, but descending was a little touchy. And gravity had its way. And I failed. And so you would think that would have discouraged me, but nope. The next week, they were like, yeah, we should go pick more mulberries. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Well, I go to reach for a branch, but it's not a branch. It's a snake. And I'm like, yeah, needless to say, I didn't climb any more trees after that. And I do, you know, even when I sit under trees, I'm constantly looking up like, is there a snake? Is there a snake? So I may just need a little more encouragement in that, you know, department. But it's just, it makes me laugh to think about how fearless I was, you know, growing up, and to get older and be a little, you know, nervous about everything. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not to fear, but of power and love and self-control. So I guess I don't consider it being fearful. It's more like being extremely cautious. A lot of times our fear runs so deep that it's so deeply rooted in us that we don't always know where it's coming from. I have, for a long time, had a fear of going to football games. Then I thought it was the crowds, which I still don't like crowds. I'm just going to be honest with that. But I would always sit at the bottom. And then one day I remembered that I was maybe 8, and I was at a football game because my uncle was playing, and I'm sitting on the top, and everyone is like, you know, trying to get in together, really close together. About to tell my age, but the way the bleachers were made, they were wooden, they were really tall, but there were no side guards on them whatsoever. And this girl, she kept saying, you know, I want to get in. Scoot over, scoot over, scoot over. I was on the edge, and I fell from the top to the bottom. Blacked out for a while, you know, things like that. I had forgotten about that until one day I was at a game, and we were going up this, you know, the bleachers, and I was like, nope, I can't do it. And it had rails, it had the fencing, it had everything, but still, in my mind, I could fall off of that thing. And so with that, I was just like, no. And so still to this day, I stay on the bottom. I'm gonna get the courage up to go back up to the top one day, but right now, I'm a work in progress. And you know, I've just been going on this journey of self-discovery. And one of my journeys is through my weight loss. For years I would diet, as you know, most people say, but I like to call it a lifestyle change. So during my, you know, weight loss journeys, my lifestyle changes, I would always plateau at a certain point. And then I couldn't get past the plateau, so I would sabotage myself every single time. I'm like, okay, I haven't lost anything in like 2 weeks. I guess I'll go have that burger, the fries, the large sweet tea, and maybe a slice of pie and some ice cream on the side with some cookies, you know. I would, because I was so, would get so frustrated, like, why is this happening to me? And so recently I was at one of my sessions with my massage therapist, and she was just asking questions, just random questions, at least that's what I believe. The thing about her is that she believes in healing the body, mind, and the spirit in order to progress and move forward in life. And we were just talking, and I was telling her how I had hit a plateau and that I was sabotaging myself. I was like, okay, here we go. I'm going to get me some fried chicken, some mashed potatoes, some biscuits, some sweet tea, you know, all of those things. And so she started asking questions, and I had a breakthrough. And I remembered something from my childhood that caused me to be more sedentary. I stayed in the house, I read books, I would go to faraway places in those books, you know, when reading those books, and I was just not active. And I started gaining the weight because I went to my mom and I was like, I don't remember being a big girl when I was little. And she's like, you weren't. And I kept trying to figure that out. And so while talking to her, when I got this revelation, I thought, wow, how could something so small and in my mind so insignificant hold me down and keep me, you know, in this bad place? And so once I got through that, this was last week. Since then, I dropped 8 pounds, and I have reached my a goal of 60 pounds since January, weight loss. So thank you. And so now I feel that I can keep going. So, you know, and I say all these things to encourage you guys that if you are, you know, in one of those things where you have become, you know, sit in like almost like quicksand and you constantly feel like you're sinking, or that cement is around you and you can't move forward, there may be something in your past that may be holding you back from moving forward. And so if you can find out what that is, that could be the difference between staying where you are and moving ahead. And so I'm just really, you know, excited about that. Hebrews 10:24-25 in the New Living Translation says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. There have been so many testimonies given to us, you know, to encourage us, especially right here in our family at Oasis. We had Tanya's testimony about how her temporary part-time job became a permanent full-time job with multiple raises. You know, we have Jesse's battles with and his victories over cancer. We have Wanda's multiple vehicle situations that resulted in a beautiful blue blessing. We have Deborah's vehicle blessing. My sister Tanya, you know, I told you all about her situation, and her blessing is improved credit. She got a new job, got a promotion recently, a new car, and most recently, like last week, she signed her for her new house. She just bought a house, purchased it, and you know, she moved in. She's already moved in this weekend, you know, this past weekend. And she did all of that within 2 years. You know, just believing in God, believing that, you know, when she gave her tithes and she blessed others and, you know, she was faithful in, you know, what he had given her, that she would be blessed. And she was. And let us not forget Oasis' blessing of getting the sprinkler system, you know, repairs and everything done for significantly less than it was originally quoted. So, you know, the Word of God has many encouraging scriptures for when you feel discouraged. If you are feeling, you know, weak, Psalms 28 and 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices," or has joy, "and with my song I will praise him," or I will sing songs of his greatness. If you need comfort, Deuteronomy 31, 8 through 9 in the New Living Translation says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Psalms 23 and 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you," talking about God, "are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If you need peace, Philippians 4 and 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Need healing? Jeremiah 17, 14 says, "O Lord, if you heal me, I will truly be healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone." Feeling a little unloved? Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "In Christ, he chose us before the world was made." So those are just a few of the scriptures that, you know, can help you when you're feeling discouraged to be encouraged. There are many more, but we don't have that kind of time. So I just gave you a few that, you know, I liked and that God put on my heart. And, you know, in all of that, you get your encouragement from friends, you get your encouragement from the Word, you get your encouragement from testimonies. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, you know, and you can encourage yourself through all of those means. So I got a book from the pastors by Zig Ziglar. And in his book, Life Lifters, he states that positive thinking won't let you do anything, but it will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. I thought, wow, that is so profound, you know, because, you know, we tend to say things, you know, in a negative way, not even thinking about it. And I, you know, my husband's probably going to get me for this one, but whenever he says things to me or asks me things, he always asks those things in the negative form. So it'll be like, "We didn't get that blah, 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 did we?" Instead of asking, "Did we get it?" You know, and I'm just like, why do you always have to be negative? He's like, "I'm not negative. You're just picky." That may be true. But, you know, when I worked in daycare years and years ago, we had rules listed for the children. And instead of saying them in negative ways, we decided that we would do them in positive ways. And so they had a better effect than the negative. So instead of saying "no running inside," we said "walking feet inside." And so, you know, they were like, "Okay, I can do that." We would say "no yelling," And the other people would say no yelling. We would say we use our quiet voice. Instead of saying no hitting or kicking, we would say we are nice to our friends, or soft touches, please. It's amazing how those things do change. You know, just changing the way you say something can have a positive effect on them. I went even with so far as to tell the kids, instead of saying it was nap time, I would say it's rest time. You don't have to go to sleep, but you need to rest so that you'll be ready to play later. They always fell asleep because no one told them they had to do it. You know, so Ziegler also states that whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. You know, and it's true. You know, I know that I'm one of those people who thinks I can't do a lot of things, you know, like get up here and speak. But when I started, you know, having a different mindset, I started saying, I can do this. I can do this. You know, as long as I have God by my side, thank you, Jesus. I'm good. I can do this, you know. And so Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can be used as a weapon to harm and destroy, or it can be a tool to build and heal. How are you using your weapon toward yourself? Are you destroying yourself or discouraging yourself with your words? Or are you building yourself and encouraging yourself with them? So I found this illustration online that shows the power of the tongue using the words bless and curse. So with bless, B, building, L, loving, E, encouraging, S, soothing, S, spirit-filled. Curse, C, critical, U, unwholesome, R, ridiculing, S, sharp, E, evil. Now let that sink in. You know, though, your words can either uplift you and others, or it can tear you and others down. So I am coming to a close, and I want to share a poem that the Lord put on my heart to write. It's very short, don't worry about it. All right, it's called I Am Here. I see you there all alone, looking for someone to phone. Oh, my child, can't you see? Where you go, there I'll be. You sit there sad and feeling down, your face heavy laden with a frown. Call on me when you need a friend. You'll see, I'm with you till the end. My love for you is kind and true, a love that's tailored just for you. So when you feel there is a lack, please, child, know I have your back. Love, God. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, ACIonlineGiving.com, /4832, or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.